This is the Evolve Marriage Podcast, episode 57. Today, I'm talking to Jason McKenzie from Adaptive Growth and the DatEdge Accelerator. We dive deep into mindset, the power of story. This is a really, really high-level conversation where we literally talk about how your thoughts can impact not only how you view your own world, but impact and influence other people around you. So I hope you like it.
Hi, I'm Kate McDougall.
And I'm Eric McDougall, certified master coach.
And this is the Evolved Marriage Podcast,
where every week you learn valuable skills to help you evolve your marriage so your best years together are ahead of you. Here we go. Hey everyone, before we jump into the episode, I just wanted to share that I'm opening up my new 12-week intensive, specifically for successful dads who feel more like roommates than lovers with their wives and don't bring it up because they lack the skills to communicate their needs in a really healthy way. Through this program, I help them communicate their needs in a way that really inspires and invites their wives to have deeper, more connected intimacy in and out of the bedroom within 12 weeks. So this is for men that are serious about leading their wives, no matter where they're at, whether you're sleeping in separate bedrooms, or maybe it's like you were in my situation 3 years ago where your wife came to you and said, hey, I want a separation. And she was really just waiting for a reason to stay. Because I'll tell you that your wife truly wants exactly what you want, which is really healthy, passionate marriage. And she probably wants it to be with you. She just doesn't trust that that can happen right now. So if you do want to connect, I'll add the application link below. So just fill out the application and we can jump on a quick call to see if it's a good fit. Here we go with the episode. All right, everyone. Welcome to the Evolve Marriage Podcast. Today we have Jason McKenzie. So thanks, Jason, for joining us.
I'm really happy to be here, my friend.
So I know we know each other personally, so I was so excited to talk to you today. I really just have this kind of conversation around the topic that we're going to bring up. But before we jump into that, you know, a question that I ask all our guests is, what's something that you're currently evolving or elevating in your own relationships that you're focused on?
That's a great question. So I think for me, one thing that's really emerging right now is, so it's related to parenting in a way, but it's also, I think there's certainly an overlap in my relationships. And that is really understanding how my thinking about and accepting some of my own behavior patterns have contributed to, you know, some of the things my kids are doing. And like, they're great kids and all that. I'm not making it sound like they're not, but, you know, just being able to look at that. But also, I think part of that is Tanya, my wife, being able to challenge me about some of those things. You know, for me, maybe not to get defensive about it. So my typical reaction is like, I might get defensive at first and then I go away and like, you know, navel gaze about it for a while. And then I come back, go, yeah, you know, you're right. So I think it's like shortening the space between the defensive reaction and the coming back and acknowledging it in a really productive, constructive way.
Yeah, man, I can really relate to that. I think a lot of times our closest relationship, they can serve as mirrors. So oftentimes I'm sure when Tanya's challenging you, it can seem almost like a mirror, like she can see something within you and you're like, whew, like that kind of stings. But I think when you're able to get to a place where you're able to emotionally regulate and decide to respond, I think it's really powerful to be in a relationship where you can challenge each other in a healthy way, which I think for a lot of us, we kind of avoid in marriage.
You're right. And I think it's that. And I also think it's the stories we make up about the other person's motivations, right? So if we have a, like you and I have talked about many times off this podcast, like human beings are sense making machines, right? So if there's a gap in our knowledge, our what we do to make sense of the world is we make up a story about it, right? We make up a story to fill in the gaps in our knowledge. And like recognizing that we do that is just the awareness that we actually do that is really powerful, right? Changing the fact that we do it is difficult, but just being aware that we do it is huge. And so I think part of where you can run into issues is when we invent a story about the other person's motivations, because human beings have like this negativity bias, right? So we make up stories. And then generally the stories we make up to fill in the gaps of our information are usually worse than the truth. They're not always worse, but they're often worse than the truth. So we might ascribe some kind of intention to another person that's just not true, or certainly doesn't match with their intention. So, you know, recognizing we do that. And then that's one of the things I think, like your spouse challenges you. It's not just about the content of the challenge that you got to think about. It's also your interpretation of their motivations that you need to think about as well, right? So yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and I think that really dives into our topic in a really powerful way, because I think you're right. Oftentimes when things are happening, it's not only how the action that we're taking, what we're putting out into the world, but there's also another side that we often discount or don't even think about, which is how that action is received or how it's being perceived. I speak to a lot of couples, and I think this idea of like, well, that wasn't my intention, and really trying to make them understand like, yes, that's valid. It's valid that it wasn't your intention. But also deeper than that, in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter for your interpersonal connection, because it really is about how the person also perceived what was happening. And I think a lot of times we kind of put this barrier up of like, well, I'm not responsible for the way they're perceiving things. That's not up to me, which I think creates this really autonomous relationship of two individuals, as opposed to really helping each other out to create different stories. So I guess my question for you, Jason, is, you know, we talk about the importance of stories, but how important are the stories that we're telling ourselves about our marriage? How important is that in terms of creating a healthy relationship?
Yeah, that's a great, well, that's a great question. So I think it's very important, because the stories we tell ourselves are, again, they're a way we make sense of the world. So, I mean, I think if you, I guess the way I kind of think about it is, I always try to remind myself that fundamentally, anything Tanya does or says, I try to interpret her motivations benignly, or assume positive intent, in other words. And so, you know, even if there's something difficult that is happening, the story I tell myself is that everything she is doing is an opportunity. She's trying to express how she loves me, right? Like, so there's this fundamental like foundation of like love and respect. And that's, I deeply believe that, but my belief is a story I am telling myself for sure, right? So I think it's super, super important. So if I tell myself a story that every challenge is an opportunity to grow as a person, if I tell myself a story that this woman truly does have my best interests at heart, regardless of how she might be going about trying to express it, if I believe she's got my best interest in heart, then it makes me, not necessarily all the time, and maybe not in the moment, but it makes me much more willing to be able to receive what she has to say. If I believe this, if I tell myself a story that this is the person I'm going to be with for the rest of my life, that we want to grow old together, then that influences how I behave. And so, you know, like we always talk about, you know, positive images of the future, which are inspire positive action in the present. So a positive image of the future is a story I am telling myself, like a thought I have about what I want the future to look like. But the more compelling that story or those images are, the more likely I'm going to be to act in the moment in a way that makes them come true. That was a really long-winded way to say, but I think it's like foundationally, like fundamentally important to make sure you have a healthy relationship.
Yeah, and I think you're touching on something that's really important, which I think foundationally too, like we often create a theory, a story in our mind, and then the confirmation bias that we have, we go out in the world and we try to prove that theory correct.
Yeah.
Right? So I say this all the time. It's like, if you think your marriage is not great, you're going to find evidence of that. But if you think your marriage is great, you're going to look for evidence of that, because that's how the mind is designed, right? It's designed to win. And so I want to understand, how do we move towards, you know, if you imagine ourselves being in a situation where, hey, things aren't going well. I have this super negative view of my marriage. I haven't been connected for a really long time. I think for a lot of people, when we start talking to them, it's like, well, what do you mean? I'm just going to start making up stuff that's not true. But I guess I want to understand, how do you start to bridge that gap between, hey, I'm at this place where it's been negative for a long time, right? Maybe I felt like the victim. Maybe I felt super challenged. I'm exhausted, to this place where I can actually start to create a story that inspires me to take action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question. So, I mean, I think the first thing is recognizing that whenever you are in a interpersonal dynamic with one or more people that you don't like, the most important and difficult place to look is in the mirror. It's so easy and tempting to externalize the blame for that situation. So, I mean, I think one of the things is looking in the mirror and ask yourself the story you're telling yourself about yourself and how it's contributing to this. Because if you have this belief that you're not worthy of in some way, or you have some kind of insecurities. Like you said, and another way to say it is we create self-fulfilling prophecies. So if I feel like crap about myself, I won't swear on your podcast, if I feel like crap about myself, I mean, I will, again, look for evidence everywhere. And so I will interpret my spouse's motivations through the lens of, I feel like crap about myself, and so therefore she must think I'm crap. And so I think that's really important. But I think too, like, understanding that one of the most, I think the greatest gifts we've been bestowed on, whatever, however you choose to look at it, the creator, the universe, whatever, is the ability to choose how we look at what's happened to us, what's happening to us right now, and what we want to happen to us. And like, for me, I think what really drove that home is coming up in a couple of about 10 days, maybe 2 weeks actually, is like the 12th anniversary of my wife's death. And so, and the reason I bring that up is not going to the whole story, but just recognizing that when we have a significant emotional event that happens in our lives, like we have like this anchor point, you know, and it's like this a stake driven in the ground or a reference point that I can look back to. And one of the things I've realized is like now 12 years, coming up on 12 years has passed, is holy moly, man, do I ever have the stories I've ever told about that situation changed over time? I am the victim. This was the dark time to, this was a really important thing that led me to the person that I am today, to something can be a tragedy and a gift at the same time, to this is just something that actually happened. And every other thing is a story I actually make up about it. And so, but having that like anchor point has actually been really helpful in a way of helping me like realize that. So, because it's not about actually like you say, like just making up some beautiful story when things are difficult. It's about recognizing that the frame through which you look at the situation is profoundly impactful on how you show up to navigate through it. It's not about creating a fairy tale. It's about using like tools to, or your own agency to be able to show up and be more effective. That's what it's really about, right? So I don't know if that answers your question, but that's how I think about it.
No, and I think it's really important to think about, you know, you talked about this massive anchor point in your life. And I think what we don't realize is it's very empowering to understand that I can choose the thoughts that I think. Like, you get to choose the stories. And I think a lot of times for, you know, I talk to a lot of men, a lot of couples, but like they're stuck in the story. And one of the big questions I ask them is, how is this serving you? And they're like, well, it's not. And it's like, no, but I actually need you to go deeper because this is serving you in one way or another. Maybe it's helping you not take action. Maybe you actually are quite comfortable in this kind of devil, you know, right? You like being stuck because the unknown is scarier. And I think oftentimes we feel very powerless in these moments of like, well, I can't do anything. But once you get to understand like, hey, this is actually just a story you're making up, that you can't do anything, there's a lot of options here. Well, it's really about taking the power back for how you want to view not only your past, but what you choose to dream about in the future. And so I guess I really want to kind of move this idea, Jason. How do we actually start to use these stories, our thoughts, to impact the world around us, our interpersonal relationships, the way that we show up through action? I mean, is there a way to start to influence people around us just through the things we start to think about?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, ultimately, I think at the end of the day, beliefs that we choose to hold influence how we show up. So, I mean, yeah, clearly that, I think that's the case. So, that's a really good question though. I mean, I guess the way I think about it is I recognize that I know some things right now, and I know that there's an infinitely greater number of things that I do not know. You know, a lot of the work we do is really predicated around curiosity, right? So I think, and I'm not sure if I'm going to just directly answer your question, but as I'm thinking about it, I think that for me, one of my foundational practices is just curiosity, right? Whether it's working like in a conversation, like right now, I'm being curious about how I actually think about what you just asked me about. Or if it's like working in a conversation with my wife, or if it's or my kids, or working with some kind of client, right? So, and I think if we approach life and the interactions we have through the lens of curiosity, it's really, really empowering. Because number one, it means that I accept that I don't have to have the answer right now. It implies that I believe the other person has something valuable to offer, and I just need to be curious enough to look for it. I think curiosity is the opposite of anger. As soon as you become angry about something, you stop being curious. You get just much more interested in advocating for your own point of view rather than inquiring about the others. So I'm not sure if that exactly answered your question, but I just think that, like, my belief, you know, and the story I tell myself is that I am doing my best to be a lifelong learner. And every situation I find myself in is an opportunity to learn, especially the ones that are uncomfortable in the moment, right? So yeah, I mean, I think ultimately your beliefs can be profoundly impactful. Obviously, and I mean, this is something you've challenged me on before, actually, really effectively, is the idea of, you know, you can't change anybody else. You've actually changed my thinking about that. And what, I mean, I guess it's true, you can't actually change somebody else in the sense that somebody else has to take an action, but you can certainly influence them, whether it's through understanding more about their point of view or modeling a certain way of living for yourself or creating the type of connection where they're open to hearing what you have to say. Like there's lots of things you can do to make a significant impact on somebody else. So did that answer your question?
No, but it's all good. I think it really leads into such a greater conversation. As I was hearing you talk about curiosity, I think for me, there was a time in my life where I had this, you know, I was protected behind this mask of righteousness, of knowledge, of like, hey, if I have the answers, somehow I'm way above everybody else. And what I realized is that the more I started to wear that mask, the more it felt almost like a trap. It was like the mask was wearing me, like I had to have the answers. And what I realized is that I was constantly stressed out when I was getting into conversations. I was like, what if somebody asks me something that I don't know? What if I don't know where this is going to go? What if I don't have control? And what I realized is that that was really based in this place of fear that somebody would somehow think that, hey, if Eric doesn't have all the answers, he's a total moron, which is my own story, that somehow I thought that I would be a better person if I had more answers. And I think, you know, as you were talking, you know, I've kind of moved towards that curiosity model too, where I'm totally open about, I have so many things I need to learn. And the reality is in my life, there's plenty of things that I won't learn throughout my life. But that as long as I keep this idea of, you know, I don't really know everything, so I'm going to go into these conversations, I'm going to go into these experiences open to take things in and to learn, it was actually very freeing for me. It was almost like this massive weight had been lifted. And I think oftentimes when I do that, and even in my relationship, you know, during conflict, it created a space where Kate and I could actually have conflict in a really healthy way for me to stop and say, hey, I don't need the answer to this conflict here. I don't need to solve anything. What I need to do is actually just create space to try to understand what my partner is going through.
Yeah. Like I think when you think about all the interpersonal dynamics that are at play, like think about when you have had you or I have had a challenging situation. Well, you could approach it like I need to have the answer here or find the answer, but like really think about it. Like every time I've had a challenging situation with Tanya, I've never been married to her for as long as I have in the moment that I've had that conflict. I've never been the exact same person that I've been in that conflict. Either has she, you know, like there's all these variables to say that like every time you have there's something different in every situation. And so you have to approach it from the perspective of curiosity if you want to be effective, because there's just so many things you can't possibly know, whether they're big or small. And so I think one of the questions I love to ask is, what do you want me to understand right now? Like thinking about it from the perspective of curiosity. I mean, like, man, that's a very simple, but in my experience, it's a pretty profound question, right? And then just stop and be quiet and listen.
Yeah. And Jason, I guess as you're talking, what are some things that you do in your own life to be able to get to that place? Because as we're talking about it, I mean, you must have such a healthy foundation of self in order to be open to, you know, what could be said as chaos around us all the time, right? Life is chaos. And when I think about myself, you know, I'm still have, you know, a lot of emotional resilience to grow. And I think about some of myself in these moments, you know, I compare it to like sitting in the fire. But what are some things that you actually do in your own life that allow you to create this really healthy foundation, this solid foundation of self, so you can go out in the world and really just be open to a lot of these conversations? Because I don't know that everybody has that skill.
So I think it's just being open, like being aware and accepting of my own many, many shortcomings. Like, I think it's putting yourself consistently in situations to learn and grow and try new things. Because when you do that, you know, you realize that you're putting yourself in like uncomfortable situations. You're putting yourself in situations where you don't know things. You're putting yourself in situations where you might fail, you know? And so like, I think there's those types of things where making learning and growth just part of how you operate. I think it's being willing, like, I don't know. I think vulnerability, I remember when I wrote my book, I just find vulnerability is like being willing to look at yourself in the mirror and be honest about who you see staring back at you. Right. And so I think part of it has been, I don't know, just looking at my own behavior and trying to understand myself. Therapy has been helpful, man. Like, super helpful. Like, just trying to understand why I do some of the things that I do. I mean, that's been profoundly helpful. The process of grief and just trying to be open about it has been helpful. I think recognizing that, like, people are just waiting for someone else to go first. Like, so, like, when you're talking about wearing this mask, right? What's just amazing is when you drop, everybody else is too. When you drop the mask and you just start sharing a little bit more of yourself, like, I don't know, maybe it's to a friend or whatever, like, yeah, man, I'm really like, I'm, you know, got this thing coming up and I'm super anxious about it or whatever. Or, man, I, you know, had this situation happen with Tanya and I just feel like crap about how I handled it or whatever. When you start opening up like that, you realize you're just surrounded by people that want you to, like, they're waiting for somebody to go first. And then you end up having these conversations. So, like, I'm going to be 49 in a month, right? I mean, like, I also think part of the journey of getting older is realizing that, yeah, like, I definitely do not have it figured out by this point. So it's fairly reasonable to believe that I'm never going to. And so with that being the case, like, there's going to be many, 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 many more situations that I don't handle to, like, the best that I could, or maybe the best that I could wasn't that great, right? So there's an opportunity to learn. So I don't know. I think a big part of it is just accepting the beautiful, complex strengths and flaws of the human condition.
You know, as you're talking about being open and sharing, and especially this idea that you've kind of gone through life and you haven't figured it out yet, I think that can be very humbling, but I think it's also hard for people to have that level of ruthless honesty with themselves. I think so many, you know, not only men, but people in general are constantly trying to drive to create solutions, right? To solve problems in their life, to create this sense of peace. But the reality is what I say all the time is, like, you're fighting a losing battle. Life is chaos. Life is about problems. And it's less about trying to control everything around you so you don't experience problems. And it's more about, hey, how do I go within and create this strong foundation so I can be in these moments of chaos, but just calm, right? I imagine, like, you know, I remember watching a movie way back, and it's like a sea captain in the ocean. He's in a storm and he's just laughing maniacally. And I was like, that is like the experience of life. You're just like loving the chaos. Yeah. This is the moment you live for, as opposed to this idea of like the sea captain on the shore who's afraid to go out and experience life. Because I think what happens for a lot of us is we start to shield the human experience and then realize as we go through life that, hey, I'm living this unfulfilling life. And I think it's hard for these men and women to come to terms and say, this is my choice to experience and create this life. I had a huge part in 100%. Creating this life, right?
Totally with you. Like, I think that was something that I talked to a therapist. Actually, that exact thing was helping me see, like, peace isn't another accomplishment away, right? That is a friggin' fool's errand, man. And like, it's a road to ruin. Peace is right in front of you. It's all around you. And that, I think that's also part of the journey of life in a way is trying to find a way to accept it.
And I think it wraps up our episode beautifully because it really is about the stories you're telling yourself about your life, right? Foundationally.
Yes.
And so what we're talking about, I always say, but it's much different for me when I say, hey, this is the human experience. There's going to be some bad, there's going to be some good, right? Based on how I experience it. But the reality is I might look back at some of these really challenging moments, right? I think when Kate and I were on the verge of separation, like ending our marriage. And in the moment I was like, this is the worst time of my life. But now when I look back at it, I'm like, that was the catalyst for what we have now. You know what I mean?
Right.
But the reality is, just like you're saying, 10 years from now, I might look at that moment totally different based on new knowledge, new experiences that I've had. And I think because I have the story of, like, I am experiencing life, I'm a human being, instead of, oh, I need to achieve as much as I possibly can in my life, it allows me to take it all in, which I think is extremely powerful.
Amen. I totally agree.
Yeah, man. So Jason, I want people to get in contact with you. What's the best way for them to, you know, figure out what you're working on, what you're putting out into the world? Because I know you're doing a lot of things with fathers and business owners. So where can people find you if you want to put that stuff in the show notes?
Yeah, I think the best place is you can email me at Jason. If you ever want to reach out, you know, I'm totally down, right? So just reach out. Jason@adaptivegrowth.ca is probably the best place to do that, or jason@thedadedge.com. So we help, you know, we have a business where, as you know, we help dads who are business owners create extraordinary marriages, epic connections with their kids, and scaling your businesses. And then we have another business that actually helps companies do, like, implement a really positive strength-based leadership operating system. But I always love meeting new people. If there's ever anything I can help you with, or you want to chat, just reach out. I'm happy to reciprocate.
Yeah, man. I appreciate you putting that out there. And just our conversations that we have on a regular have been so impactful in my life. You've been a huge mentor of mine, man. So I really appreciate, you know, the impact you've had on my life and my journey thus far.
Oh, my pleasure, man.
All right, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please subscribe, rate, and review our podcast. That always helps us get the message out there. Share it with somebody you think could benefit from this great conversation with Jason today. If you are a man looking to lead his wife and want the support of other high-level men who are focused on evolving their own marriages, feel free to join our free Facebook community, the Evolve Men's Collective. I'm going to add that to the show notes as well. And you can always follow me on Instagram, where me and Kate together, we do some pretty wild reels, challenge you to think about things a bit differently and focus on all things mindset, marriage, and masculinity. Otherwise, I hope you have an amazing week, and I hope you really put the power of story into play in order to change your life and change your relationships. Cheers.